Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Pei Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 20 lines from the top, approximately halfway down the page. You will notice a Tosfos Dibur Masel Masnisin, and across from that in the Gemara is our beginning point. The Mishnah had mentioned the slaughtering of a Korban Pesach on behalf of several different people. We had highlighted them in our markings with triangles back on the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Pei Zayin Omer Aleph. The second triangle highlighted the Yosom, the orphan, who is put in the charge of executors. In this case, we have two executors. Each one had slaughtered his own Korban Pesach, and the question is, the Yosom, the orphan, is with whom is he included? And as we've mentioned numerous times in the past, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, one has to be appointed to it. One has to be part of it. True, here we're talking about a minor, but nevertheless, the question is, along with whose Korban Pesach is he going to participate? So our Gemara. Yosoim sheshochtu olov apetroi besim. Yoichal b'mokoyim shu rotze. The Mishnah said that the child will eat where he wants to eat. So the Gemara asks, Shamas mino yesh brero. Should we conclude from here the Shas-wide, the Talmud-wide topic of whether or not we rely upon retroactive clarification for determining matters? In this case, what's retroactive? So, as we've learned in the past numerous times, a person has to be appointed to a Korban Pesach, and that must take place at the time of its slaughter. The Mishnah indicates that the Yosom will decide which Korban Pesach he wants to be with. Apparently, at the time that he's about to sit down and eat, he decides whose Korban Pesach he wants to be with, Apotropos, Executor A, or Executor B. Well, in order for him to be appointed or accounted with it, you would have to say that his decision now reflects upon upon their interest retroactively back to the time of slaughtering, in order for him to be included in the Korban Pesach. But we haven't accepted with any certainty that that is the way to determine things. And as we said, it's a topic that's under discussion throughout the entire Shas. So the Gemara says, listen, here we're not going to come to that conclusion, because Omer Rabbi Zeira se labayis, that is a pasuk, mikol makom. And Rashi explains, you'll notice Rashi at the upper part of the narrow line, se labayis, ish bal habayis ikochenu l'chol b'nei beiso v'ein tzorech daiton. When a head of a household, in this case the executors, are choosing their Korban Pesach, it covers all the members of their household, and you don't need their das, you don't need their approval or their willingness. So necessity of having the participant's decision which Pesach he wants to be a part of is not important in this case when we're dealing with a Yosom, an orphan, who is a minor under the control of an executor. So, therefore, it's not a function of needing any retroactive clarification, and whatever the child decides, whichever one he decides he wants to be a part of, he's automatically included in the Korban Pesach that was slaughtered and processed on behalf of the owner of the head of the household, and in this case, in the apotropos, the executor. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and we should point out we'll have two Tanaic sources, one kind of back to back, where the second source will sort of pick up on the point that is the conclusion of the first Tanaic source. The topic heading on the side, we have the nosei, the topic heading, mi yotzei umi lo yotzei b'shchitas bal habayis, who is included and who is not included in the slaughter of the Pesach, the shchitas Pesach of the bal habayis. The source, Tanu Rabbanan, se labayis. That's a quote from the pasuk, melamed she'odam mevi v'shochet. This teaches us that a person, a homeowner, a family head, comes and slaughters al yedei beno. The word al yedei means for, bishvil, on behalf of. Al yedei beno bito haktanim, for his son and daughter, the minors. The al yedei avdo v'shivchosu haknanim, or his servant or bondmaid that are kinanim, meaning, and in contrast to an eved ivri, an eved kinani, we'll call it, is, we'll say, the non-Jewish servant or bondmaid, bein midaiton, bein shalom midaiton, whether they are aware of it and express their interest, and whether not. In other words, even if they're not aware, they're automatically included in the head of the household's korban Pesach. Avol, this now is in contrast, and that's why we have the squiggle underline to highlight the contrast expression. Avol eino shochet al yedei beno vito hagdoilim. This same law will not apply to cover his adult children, male and female, the al yedei avdo v'shivchosu ivrim, nor will his the bala bayis's korban pesach will not cover his Jewish servants or handmaids, the al yedei ishto, nor to cover his wife, elo midaiton, unless it is with their knowledge, their expressed knowledge and approval. Tanyo idoch. We have another Tanaic source, and it picks up with the what does not work, as was mentioned at the end of the preceding source. Lo yishchot adam, lo al yedei beno uvito hagdoilim, v'al yedei avdo v'shifchosu ivrim, v'al yedei ishto elo midaiton. As we just got finished saying, with them, you have to have their knowledge and approval. Avol shochet hu al yedei beno uvito haktanim, v'al yedei avdo v'shifchosu haknanim, bein midaiton, bein shelo midaiton. Exactly as we explained in the previous source. V'kulon sheshochtu v'shochat rabon aleim. In all of these cases, if they slaughtered their own korban pesach and the rabbon, their master, the head, slaughtered his korban pesach, yoytzin b'shel rabbon, they will be included in the master's korban pesach. The ein yoytzin b'shel atzman will not be included in their own. Chutz minho isha sheyicholu limchos, with the exception of the wife, because she can protest. Now the end of this source is a bit vague, and the Gemara will spend a number of lines clarifying the information here. My shna isha, what is unique about the woman? Why do you say that the woman is described as ein yoitz, is not included b'shel rabon? We said that all of them are included in rabon and not with their own, with the exception of the woman. What makes the woman unique? So, as Rashi elaborates on this, is what is different about the woman, the wife, than the Hebrew or the Jewish servant and bondmaid or his adult children. Omar Rava. So Rava explains that your question is quite true, and Isha v'chol the dami law. The reference at the end of this source is not to the woman alone, but the woman and all those that are like her, that have their own mind, so to speak, their own identity, their own authority. The man's wife, the man's adult children, and the man's Jewish servants. So that the end of the source that says in all of them are going to be included in the master's Korban Pesach and not on their own, that would be characteristic of the Bino Bito Aktanim or the Avdo and Shifchos Aktanim, in contrast to the others. Ha Gufa Kasha. there is something here that we find to be inherently contradictory. Now, on the side of the Gemara, before we continue, we have a nosei, mivne heading, a topic heading with a structural note, and we've noted yishuv, as it means a resolution, yishuv stira, to resolve a contradiction, shenoitzro ayadei diyukim mehoresho vaseifa, based on inferences from the beginning and the end of the source, beinyan shenishchat avuram bestama, where a Korban Pesach was slaughtered with a neutral mindset. The house shape that we will see in the upcoming lines of Gemara, Havlotas Hadiyukim, that's where we want to highlight the inferences so as to make it easier to see what's double underlined, the stira, the contradiction. The triangle positioning, you have point up and alternatively point flipped over point down. The point up is a kusha, question, and the point, the inverted, is a tirutz, a response. So we open up with a question. We said that Hagufa Kasha, we said in our Gemara on the first wide line of the Gemara text in the middle, we say there's something inherently contradictory here. Amris, you said, Chutz min ho'isha shi'achoylo limchois. The woman is not included in her husband's Korban Pesach because she can protest. Ta'ama demochi. The reason she's not included is because she protested. Ha lo mochi. If she didn't protest, and we wrote in between the lines, that's a case of stama. That's a case of a neutral mindset. Well, if she's in neutral, then nafka b'shel bailo. She will fulfill her Korban Pesach through her husband's sacrifice. The ha katani reisha. But did the reisha not say as follows? The loy al yadei ishto, elo midaiton, that the woman will not be in fulfillment of the Korban Pesach unless she expresses her interest as such to be included in her husband's Korban Pesach. And now that would lead us to infer ha stama, if she doesn't express but she's rather neutral, then lo nafka, namely, only if she expresses her interest will she be included in her husband's Korban Pesach. But if she's stam, if she's neutral, she doesn't express her positive interest, then lo nafka, then she wouldn't fulfill. She wouldn't be included in his Korban Pesach. So just to go over the stira, the line just before we had stamo, in the neutral mindset she's included, and in this inference, in the neutral mindset she's not included. That would be contradictory. The Gemara responds, my elo midaiton. We said in the case of Elamidaiton that she fulfills her Korban Pesach with her husband, through her husband's sacrifice. That is, we skip the brackets for a moment, Bistamo. That is the case of Stamo. In other words, the expression Midaiton is actually the same as Stamo. So, in other words, when you saw the line just above this where it said Elamidaiton and then we inferred in contrast to the case of Stamo, that is not to be done. But rather, when it says Elamidaiton, that is the case of Stamo. And as we said earlier, she fulfills along with her husband's sacrifice. La fuki hecha di omur lo, to the exclusion of the case where there's an expressed interest in not being included. Let's go over this line again. We skipped a couple of words for making the reading easier. The Gemara's answer, we go to the inverted triangle. My elo midaiton. What was meant by elo midaiton, that she fulfills the korban she fulfills her obligation through her husband. Lav the amri in. It's not that she had to say, I want to be with my husband. Elo bistamo. It meant, in the neutral mindset, she is included with her husband. La fuki hecho de omolo, to the exclusion of the case where she actually expresses her disinterest. Question. V'ho kulam sheshachtu v'shochat rabon alehem yoitzin b'shel rabon debestamo. We have a case here where the Tanaic source before mentioned they shechted their own, and their Rav, their master, shechted his. They shechted their own, and the master shechted for them. They fulfilled together with the master, with the father, with the owner, with the husband. Dibistama. That is a case of stam. No one is saying anything. It's a case of neutral mindset. The Katoni, and it says, chutz min ha'isha mipnei shi'yicholah limchos. So that what is the source saying? The source is saying that in a stam situation, the woman does not fulfill her obligation along with her husband. Omar Rava. Rava explains that the description of that quote, where the triangle appeared most recently, the description of that as being a case of stam is simply incorrect. Kevan Sheshachtu, since they slaughtered their own Korban Pesach in that scenario, Ein l'chol michui gadol mizeh, you have no greater protest than that, than someone slaughtering his own or her own Korban Pesach, when at the same time the husband or the master was slaughtering his. They're doing their own, and that's an act of protest. I don't want to be included with the husband. So, fine, that's what we said before as well, that in a case of expressed disinterest, so then they are not included, they including the wife is not included. However, in the case of stam, in the case of the neutral, the non-expressed mindset, they are included in the master's Korban Pesach. Eved shel shei shel shnei shutfin, the Mishnah had said that the servant who's co-owned by two masters doesn't participate in either master's Korban Pesach. Romi lei Rav Eino Savo the Rav Nachman. The topic heading that we have on the side, in fact, is the Eved, the slave, owned by two masters. In other words, he's owned by two partners. Rav Eino Savo raises a contradiction in the presence of Rav Nachman. Tanan. On the one hand, our Mishnah says, Eved shel shnei shufin lo yoichal mishel shnehem, that he shall not eat from either owner's Korban Pesach, the Hotanya. But we have another Tanaic source that says, Rotzo mizeh ochel, rotzo mizeh ochel. If he should choose to eat from this one, he can eat, or from that one, he can eat. Omar lei, Rav Nachman responds, Eino savo, v'amri lo pasyo uchmo. He refers to him either as by his name, Eino Savo, or he calls him Pasio Uchma, means a black pot. But it's an expression meaning wise man. Miniu minoch testayim shmeitzo. Between you and me, we will resolve this matter. Masnisin, the Mishnah that said, Lo yocha lo mizeh velo mizeh, that the servant shall not eat from either owner's Korban Pesach, b'dekapti ahadodi, where the two owners are makpid one on the other, namely they are unyielding and unforgiving one with respect to the other. If we look at the Rashi, b'dekapti ahadodi shnei habaylim, the two owners are makpid one on the other. V'ein roitzim lehonos ze mizeh, and they don't want to benefit one from the other. Hilkoch afilu nisratze ho echod sheyochal eved mishalo. Even if one of these co-owners decided that the slave shall eat from his Korban Pesach, ein chavero rotze shiyahaneh chelko mishel chavero, the other partner doesn't want his holding in the slave, his portion of the slave, so to speak, to benefit from the other owner's Korban Pesach. So where you have the kapti adodi, they're unyielding one to the other. Neither one wants to benefit from his friend. So then that is what our Mishnah was describing, that the servant shall not eat from either one. Brisa, where the second Tanaic source says that the servant can benefit from either Korban Pesach he wants, the lo kapti adodi. The opposite situation as far as the state of mind between the two owners, where they are yielding one to the other. Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin lo yochal mishel raboi. A person who is half slave and half free man. So the Mishnah said he shall not eat from his master's, the one that owns half of him. Mishel Rabahu de lo yochal, avol Mishel Atzmo yochal. From the Mishnah, it would appear that he shall not eat from his master's Korban Pesach, but he shall eat from his own. Ah, the Gemara asks v'ha Tanya, but we have another Tanaic source that says lo yochal lo Mishel lo v'lo Mishel Raboi. he shall not eat from either his own nor his master's. And we dashed underline lo mishalo to contrast this with what the Mishnah implied. The Gemara says lo kasha, there's no contradiction. There's simply, these two sources are referring to two different historical time periods with regard to halachic development in the context of someone who is half free and half slave. The Gemara says, Kan Kamishna Rishoino, Kan Kamishna Achroino, Disnan, as will be explained in the following Tanaic source. So there's Mishnah Rishona, the earlier teaching, and then there is the later teaching. According to the earlier teaching, and we'll be focusing on the opinion of Beis Hillel as we go along in the source to see how Beis Hillel, the opinion of Beis Hillel changes in the course of time. We can point out now that according to the Mishnah Rishayna, this Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorin, he shall not eat even from his own Korban Pesach. The situation of a Chatzi Evet, Chatzi Ben Chorin, how that can arise is a, we would say that's a separate discussion, but for our purposes, on a practical level, so he'll work half of the time for this, for the master that still owns half of him, and the other half of the time he's his own boss, and he whatever income he has, he'll keep for himself from that other half time. So the source now gives us the background for the Mishnah Rishona versus the Mishnah Achrona, the earlier Mishnah, earlier teaching, and the Mishnah Achrona, the later teaching. The source says, Mishachetzio Evid Bechetzio Ben Choren, someone who was in that state of being, he's half slave and half free man, Oved Es Rabo Yom Echad, V'es Atzmo Yom Echad, Divrei Beis Hillel. Out of the available days for work, you have 6 out of 7 days, so one day he'll work for his master, and the other day he works for himself. That's Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Omrim. Beis Shammai's response to Beis Hillel, who at this point basically is saying, okay, so the person's half Evid and half free, he can maintain that status till the end of his life. Shammai says there is a problem here. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Tikantem es rabo. There's atzmo lo tikantem. You made things good, you fixed matters as far as the owner, the remaining owner, this fellow who's half Evid, half free, he was once owned by two people. One of the owners sold out to the slave, releasing his holding in him, leaving the other half still owned. So we straighten things out for the remaining partner, the remaining owner who owns half of the slave, that he doesn't lose anything. He doesn't lose in this deal that he has a Chatzi Evid, Chatzi Ben Chorin working for him. However, you haven't fixed matters for the slave himself. What's going to be with him? As is explained, Lisa Shivcha Eino Yochol, beyond the issue of work and income, what about his marriage? He can't marry a Shivcha, a bondmaid, Shikvar Chetzio Ben Chorin, because part of him is a free man having a status as a full Jew. Lisa Bas Chorin, to marry a Jewish girl, Eino Yochol, he can't do that either, Shadayim Chetzio Eved. And an Eved is a legal category. Eved and Shivcha is a legal category that is not a Jew, per se. They are not Jewish. To call them actual heathens, that also would not be accurate. So they are a category unto themselves. But this fellow, who's half free and half Eved, he can't marry a Bas Chorin either. A Bas Chorin means literally a free woman, but it means a regular Jewish girl. He can't marry her either. So Yevatel, should he just remain like that without marriage? The world was created with an express intent of having procreation. How will he be able to engage in that, like in his current state? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Lo sohu v'ra'a l'shevas yisara. The world was not created to remain a void, but rather to be inhabited. Ela mitnei tikkun olam, but rather as a result of our concern for the welfare of humanity, koifen es raboi v'oisoisei ben chorin, the owner that owns half of him is forced into freeing his holding, his half holding, making him a complete Ben Chorin, a complete free man, which basically means a complete Jew, because an Eved that is freed, automatically he becomes a Jew. The Kosev Shtar Al Chatzidomov, and the servant who now acquired half of himself because the owner was forced into freeing him. So the servant now writes a check for half of his value and will owe that amount to the owner. The Chazru Beis Hillel Lahoros Kebei Shammai. Upon hearing Beis Shammai's presentation, Beis Hillel now reverses their opinion to agree with Beis Shammai. In other words, whereas Beis Hillel originally held he can remain half servant, half freeman, Beis Hillel now retracts from that and says that he shall be freed completely. So now, with that in mind, the Mishnah Rishona that said he shall not eat from the source that said he doesn't eat lo mishelo lo mishel rabo, that is the Mishnah Rishona. That's the original state where he was not here nor there. However, according to the Mishnah Achrona, where he's forced to be released, regarding that we can say he eats mishelo, eats from his own, and that's what our Mishnah was referring to, from which we inferred that he eats from his own Korban Pesach. We continue with the new Mishnah. Ho'emer la'avdo, tsei u'shchot olai es ha'pesach. A person says to a slave, slaughter on my behalf a korban pesach. Shochad gedi, so if the slave then saw to it that a goat is prepared, yochal, the master eats from that. Shochat le, if the servant saw to it that a lamb is slaughtered as a korban pesach, then yochal, the owner will eat from that. Shochat gedi utle, if both are shechted, in other words, this servant went out and ordered a goat and a lamb to be prepared, yochal min harishon, he shall eat from the first one, and the second one is going to be burnt. We have a diamond here to highlight two cases that in which we see forgetfulness taking place. Shochach ma omar loy rabo. Ketzad yaseh. Imagine the servant, he forgot what his instruction was. Did the owner specify a goat or did he specify a lamb? So what should this servant do? Yishchat tle ugdi. He sees to it that two are slaughtered, viomar, and then makes a declaration. Im gedi omali rabi. If my master said that he wanted a goat, gedi shelo utle sheli, then let the goat be for him, and the lamb that I slaughtered, that'll be for me. The im tle omali rabi. And if he instructed for a lamb to be prepared, hatle shelo ugdi sheli, then the lamb shall be for him, and the goat shall be for me. Shochach raboi. Here we have a case where the master forgot. Shochach rabo ma omarlo. What did he? He forgot himself. He forgot. He himself forgot. What did I say? And did I say lamb or goat? And both in fact were shechted. But which one did I say? Shnehem yetsu lebeis hasreifa. Both are to be taken out to be burnt. The Rashi says shnehem yetsu lebeis hasreifa delo yodia hey dehai vehei dehai. He doesn't know which one is his and which one is for his servant. V'ein pesach nechal elam lumnuyov. And we know that a korban pesach can be eaten only by he who was assigned to it. So we don't know who was assigned to which animal. Therefore, both are taken out to be burned. However, uftur milasus pesach sheni, they are exempt from having to do a second pesach, a makeup pesach on the 14th of Iyar, because as far as the shchita and the zrika, they were done properly. One of the animals was done for the master, and one of the animals was done for the servant. And in heaven, heaven does know for whom which one was done. The only problem here is that after the fact, the owner forgot. So as far as able to eat from them, no, because maybe he who eats from this one wasn't the one appointed to it. However, as far as fulfillment of basic Korban Pesach obligation, since at the time that the Korbanos were processed, they were processed properly with a specific person in mind for the specific animal, there is no makeup, there's no need to have a makeup Pesach on the 14th of Iyar, Pesach Sheni. The Gemara now goes over points mentioned in the Mishnah and observes that some of the points were quite obvious. Why were they taught? Pshita shochat gidi yochal. The Mishnah mentioned that a person said to a servant, "I want for you to see to it that a goat is prepared for my Korban Pesach." So that's the one that he will eat from. So what's the Mishnah telling us that I wouldn't know on my own? The Gemara answers, "Afagav deragil betle." This is true, even though in past years he was regular in eating or preparing a Korban Pesach from a lamb. Shochat tle yochal. The Mishnah said that if the owner instructed him to prepare a lamb, so and that was prepared, he eats from that. Well, is that not obvious? The Gemara says, Afagav deragil begdi. This is true. This is the case even though he has been a regular in past years having a goat prepared. Ela, shochat gidi utle, yoichal min harishon. Our Mishnah said that if both were prepared, so the owner will eat from the first one to be prepared. V'hot tanya, ein nimnin al shnei psochim keechod. But has it not been taught that a person cannot be appointed to two psochim at one time? Let's take a look at the Rashi. V'altanya ein nimnin al shnei psochim keechod le'echol b'shas achilo me'echol mehem shiirtze di ein breira. Person can't have two korban pesachs prepared and then choose at the time of eating which one he wants to eat from, because that would involve a retroactive determination that which you're choosing now was the one you really wanted at the outset. V'chi boy lemecha, when he is about to eat, dilma b'shas shrito lo havedaite ole, maybe at the time of the actual slaughtering his mind wasn't on the one he's choosing right now, hilkuch lo ochil. V'zeh shehimno es rabo al shnei psochim, v'rabo yisomach alav. And in this case where the master had appointed the servant to prepare two korban pesachs, and the master relied on him, heich yochal min arishon. How can we say that the master eats from the first one? Who says that that's the one that he really wanted at the time of slaughter? The Gemara answers, Masnisen v'melech u'malka. The Mishnah that mentions Yochal min Arishon is referring to a case of a king and queen. We look at Rashi, v'melech u'malka, shetluyim al'adam. The nature of a king and a queen is they are totally dependent on their servants. V'ein makpidim al'sudoson im gidoyim im tloyim. They are not people that have any concern with specific animals that they are presented with, whether it be goats or lambs. Hilkoch ein kan din breira. Herefore, there's no issue of coming upon the institution of breira, of retroactive determination, de travayu niho lei. Both, whether it be, they're both equally happy with a goat or a lamb. Lefikoch yocham in arishon. Therefore, they are entitled, the king and queen, to eat from the first one that was prepared. They came with the lekuk peda, since they have no personal concern or restrictive thoughts. Yotze barishon yedei chovaso v'idoch bechdi nishkat. Nishkatei, therefore, fulfill their obligation through the first one. And the other one was shechted, was slaughtered for nothing. And now we have a Tanaic source, V'hot Tanya, and the note on the side says that this is a source that's brought in to support that which we just explained. The source itself, you can see, is rather long, and it has a couple of bow tie markings in them. On the side of the Gemara, we were dealing with the topic of Ein Nimnin al Shnei Psochem Kechon. that a person cannot be appointed to two Korban Pesach simultaneously. Under the Mivneh heading, the bow tie features Shnei Maisim, two incidents, B'melech U'malka V'Rabban Gamliel, involving a king, a queen, and Rabban Gamliel. When we get to the second Maisa, we have, you'll see there's a brackets that appears, Maisa Hasheni B'Sogram Tu Eino Kosher L'Inyonei Pesach. The second story is presented in brackets as it is not connected with the issue of the Korban Pesach. So now we read the source. Ein nimnen al shnei psochem ke'echad. The halacha states that a person cannot be appointed to two Korban Pesach simultaneously. And as we saw before, and then expect him to, at the time he's about to eat, to make a decision which one he really wanted, that would involve the issue of brera, of retroactive clarification. And we don't rely on that. Umaisa b'melech u'malka, shomu lavdam. There was an incident involving a king and a queen that instructed their servants, Tzu v'shachatu aleinu as a Pesach, go out and see to it that a Korban Pesach is slaughtered for us. V'yotzu v'shachatu aleim shnei psochim. They came, they went out, and in fact saw to it that two sacrifices were slaughtered. Bo v'shalu es hamelech. They asked the king, which one do you? Which one is the one for you? Amar lahem lechu v'shalu es hamalka. So the king said, go ask the queen. Does that sound familiar, by the way? Bo v'shalu min hamalka. They then asked the queen. Amru amra lahem. She said, interestingly enough, she didn't say, go ask my husband. She probably was told that the husband sent them to her. So she says, lechu v'shalu es Rav Gamliel. Go ask the great Rabban Gamliel. Bo v'shalu es Rav Gamliel. And they asked the rabbi, which Korban Pesach is the one for them to eat? Amar lahem, so Rav Gamliel said, Malka u'melech de daiton kalo alehem, a king and queen whose mind is kalo alehem. Now Rashi says, what does that mean, daiton kalo? Kedamoran, as we explained before, she'ein makpidim, they don't have any prior preference, im gedi, im tle, whether it be a goat or a lamb. That's daiton kalo. Literally, their mind is light upon them. But means that, as Rashi says, they don't have any particular preference or restrictive concerns. So, being that melech u'malka are daiton kalo, yoichlu min harishon. They will eat from the first one, because as far as they are concerned, that is just as good as anything else. That's that, as far as they can be concerned, would be their first choice. Anan, however, commoners like us, lo nochal, lo min harishon, velo min hasheni. We are not entitled to eat from this one nor that one, because we are not daiton kala. We do have preferences. Rashi on across from here says, onu lo nochal im hoyo echod mimenu shenishchatu olav gdi utle lo yochal. Lo min harishon, v'lo min hasheni, de kevon de kopid, lo yadia behei nichole. Since average people are makpid, so we don't know which one was actually the one he would have preferred at the time of the slaughtering. As we continue reading in the source, we already pointed out that the bracketed section simply isolates a second incident that was that's not connected at all to the issue of Korban Pesach. Veshuv pam achas, and on another occasion, nimtzeis halita'a beveis hamitbuchayim. A lita is a type of sheretz. It might be a type of lizard, but it's a sheretz, and a dead sheretz. There are eight examples of animals that are, when they're dead, they're creepy crawler type creatures, short-legged animals, eight of which are specified in the Torah, that when they're dead, they communicate tumah. So an incident happened where a lita was found, beveis hamitbuchayim, at the slaughterhouse of the, we'll see later, of the king and queen, ubikshu litame kol hasuda kula. And because of this sheretz, there was the thought to impose tumah on the entire meal. Bo v'shalos hamelech, they asked the king, what should we do? Go ask the queen. And Rashi points out that the queen was bekiyah v'chachomah, she was very knowledgeable in halacha, and therefore she was an address as far as the king was concerned. Go ask her what to do. Ba'al v'shalu es hamalka. They came to ask the queen. Amra lahem l'chu v'shalu es Rabban Gamliel. Go ask the great rabbi, Rabban Gamliel. Ba'al v'shalu also. They went and asked him. Amra lahem beisim etchayim roseh chotzonein. So he asked them, in order to establish laws of kashrus, we should point out, by the way, that Rashi, in explaining the litah, he mentioned it's one of the eight shrotzim that communicate tumah. We should also point out that only if, as we did before, we mentioned earlier, that only if it's dead will it communicate tumah. So he asked them, was the basement b'chayim, was it hot or was it cold? Amru lo roseach. They said it was very hot there. Amar lahem. So Rabban Gamliel said, l'chuv etilu aleo kois shel tzonei. Pour over it some cold water, basically to counterbalance the temperature that the l'tah had been exposed to. Holchu v'tilu aleo kois shel tzonei. They poured over it some cold water. V'richashan. Lo and behold, it shuddered. It moved. Indicating that it is in fact alive. The tear of Gamliel calls Sudukulan. Based on that, Gamliel was able to declare the entire meal as being Torah and no problem, and they can eat happily. Nimsa, you see from this story and the previous one as well, Melech Toli B'malko, the king was dependent on the queen. Nimseis Malka Tzliya B'Rav Gamliel, and the queen was dependent on Rav Gamliel. Nimseis Kolasuda Tzliya B'Rav Gamliel, and he being the final address, the whole meal was dependent on him. The Gemara continues, but before we actually read the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a Noseya topic heading: Eved Shenishlach LaArgein Korban Pesach, a servant that was sent to arrange a Korban Pesach. Tle Ogdi, a lamb or a goat, v'nishkach, ezo rotzim, and it was forgotten which one they wanted. The Gemara, shochach ma sh'omar loy raboy. The Eved forgot what the master said. Ketzad yaseh, what should he do? Yishchad gidli utle v'yomar, and the Mishnah said he should slaughter a Gedi, a goat, and a tle, a lamb, and make the following declaration. And the Mishnah spelled it out, saying that if the master had told me that he wants a goat, so then the goat is for him, and the lamb is for me. And if the other way around, so be it. The Gemara asks, Sheli, in the solution of the Mishnah, mention was made that if the master specified one, so the other one shall be mine. What does that mean, that you have an Eved, a slave, saying that something shall be his? Ma shekono Eved kono rabo. Whatever a slave acquires is automatically the owned property of the master. So how in the world can you have a situation where the slave is saying that the gedi, that the one animal shall be the master's and the others shall be his own? It's not his own. Omar Abaye. Abaye explains the background, the circumstances that lead up to this description in the Mishnah. Holech etzel roeh harogil rabo etzlo. The servant who received instructions by his master to prepare a Korban Pesach, but he forgot which kind of animal. So the servant goes to a shepherd who has sheep and goats, and it's a master, Harogil Rabo Etzlo, a fellow that the master is, we'll say, is very friendly with. Rogil means he's a regular customer by him, so that this shepherd will have the master's interest in mind. Denichole betakanta de rabbe. that, as we said, he wants to have a solution for his fine customer, namely the slave's master. He wants to have his welfare. He has his welfare in mind. Umakni le chad minayu amanas she'ein l'rabo rishus po. And what this shepherd does is that he grants ownership of one of the animals with the condition, with the stipulation that it will be yours and your master has no holding in it. So with that in mind, so the tanai, the stipulation that the Mishnah featured, can be made. So that with that in mind, at the point that the Korban Pesach is slaughtered, so the appointment of the respective owner of each one was made. What we should point out is that what this arrangement solves is you don't have a situation when the Gemara asked Mashe Kona Eved Kona Rabo that both are owned by the master. The problem that presented is what we mentioned earlier, that you can't have one person having two Korban Pesachs. But being that the shepherd transferred ownership of one of the animals to the servant with the stipulation that his owner has no holding in it, so that when the actual slaughtering of the animals took place, only one of them was actually owned by the master, and the stipulations that were made as the Mishnah dictated were carried out. Shochach, we continue in the Gemara, Shochach Raboi Ma Sheomar Loi, the master had sent his servant out to prepare a Korban Pesach, but the master forgot what he had said. So the Mishnah mentioned Shneim Yetzu Lebeis Asreifu V'tur Milasos Pesach Sheni, that both of them, neither one of the animals can be eaten. And we mentioned that the owner had forgotten, and both animals were actually prepared. So, and the Mishnah laid out what the halacha is. Neither one can be eaten, however, they are exempt from doing a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara, and before we actually read the Gemara, we have a geometric form that needs explanation, and on the side you can see the Mivneh, the house shape is featured. Shnei Lishonos Alma Abaye Omar Es Dvarav. There will be two versions, two Lishonos, and they're also highlighted with a Roman numeral 1 and 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. What was Abaye making his point on? With respect to what does Abaye make his comment? So the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, Loi Shanu, the Mishnah's teaching is restricted to the case of Elo Sheshochach Achar Zrika, where the owner forgot what he had requested after the blood was sprinkled. De Be'idno De Izrik Dam, at the time that the blood of the sacrifice was actually applied to the mizbeach, applied to the altar, have a chozi la'achila, it was fit for being eaten. In other words, you have a korban pesach that was processed under optimal circumstances. The forgetting only took place after the zrikas hadam, but at the point of slaughtering and the point of the actual blood applications, the owner knew what he wanted. So, that being the case, we're describing a Korban Pesach that was fit for eating. There's a Rashi that appears at the second line under the Gemara text. Have a Chozi. Rashi says, K correction, we are not to look at the Rashi now. That was it's a bit premature. This Rashi is going on the second Lashon of the Gemara. So we turn back to the Gemara text. We said that the din of the Mishnah, that they are potter from the Pesach Sheni, that applies only to a case where the forgetting took place after the Zrikas Adam. Avol, Shochach Lifnei Zrika. If this owner forgot before the blood was sprinkled, he forgot which, whether it's a lamb or a sheep, which one he had instructed the Eved, the servant, to prepare. Dechi Izrik Dam Lo Havichozi Lachila. When the blood was sprinkled, so these two animals, the lamb and the goat that were actually prepared, neither one was fit for eating. So since it never reached a point where it was fit for eating, because it wasn't clear which one he had actually asked to be prepared for him, Chayovin Lasos Pesach Sheni. So then they are obligated to prepare to do the makeup Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. Iko demas nilo abraisa. There is a second version which teaches Abaye's point regarding the following Tanaic source. The first version had Abaye as a comment on our Mishnah. Here we'll have Abaye as a comment on the following Tanaic source. Chamisho shinisarvu oirois pischein ze boze. There were five people that each one prepared their own Korban Pesach. And the skins of their respective Korban Pesachs, the skins of each one got mixed up. We couldn't identify then the skin of which Korban Pesach is associated with which owner. V'nimtzeis yabeles b'echod mehem, and a wart was discovered on the skin of one of them. Now this wart constitutes a blemish, rendering that particular sacrifice as unfit. So that you have five people here, one of whom did not fulfill his Korban Pesach obligation. Now, what about the meat here, the meat of these five animals? Kulon yoitzin lebeis hasreifo. All of them are to be taken out to be burnt. Ufturin milasos Pesach sheni. And they are exempt from the makeup Korban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. Omar Abaye, lo shonu, elo shenis arvu la'achar zrika. The exemption from the makeup Korban Pesach is only if the skins got mixed up after the zrikas adam. Debeidno de izrik dam, at the time the blood was sprinkled, mio havichozi lachila. Four of them were actually available to be eaten. So four of the people certainly fulfilled their Korban Pesach requirement. The fifth person will be exempt from, he too is exempt because we don't know which one of the people still needs to bring his Korban Pesach. And there we have no other solution. So we say they're all exempt. If the confusion, the mix-up, took place before the blood was sprinkled, chayovin lasos pesach sheni, they will all have to do the makeup korban pesach. And why is that? Because when the sprinkling did take place, it wasn't clear whose korban pesach who was unfit. So, since it's not clear whose is unfit, none of them can eat from any of these Korban Pesachs. Because in any case, I might be eating from yours. And that certainly is not allowed. And being that we're not clear who did not fulfill, it could be any one of these people. Man demasni amasnisin. Kol shekin abraisa. He who teaches Abaye's point that if the suffix arose at the time of sprinkling, prior to the sprinkling, that they have to do a makeup Korban Pesach. If you taught that with regard to the Mishnah, then kol shekena b'risa, all the more so with regard to the case of the b'risa, where one of the animals was an actual unfit sacrifice. However, man demasni abraisa, he who teaches the point of Abaye, namely mix up prior to blood sprinkling, necessitates a makeup korban pesach and apply that to the teaching in the braisa. Avol amasni sin loy, but regarding the mix up in the Mishnah, or the confusion or the forgetting referred to in the Mishnah, that even if it took place before the Zrika, what was the problem in the Mishnah? The problem there was it's not clear who is appointed to which sacrifice. That was the chisaron, that was the problem, the lack of clarity who is associated with which animal. However, kevon dekshirim ninhu, since the animals themselves were kosher, the e idkar havi chosi lachila kamishmaya galya, if he would remember which one, if the owner in the case of the Mishnah had remembered which one, either the lamb or the goat, which one he had requested, so it would have been fit for eating. There wasn't anything inherently problematic in the animal, in contrast to the Brisa case. So we can rely on the fact that Kameshma Galya, meaning that heaven knows, the Almighty knows what his intent was originally. So that if you say that in the case of the Brisa situation, there is a definite need for a Pesach Sheni when the mix-up took place before the sprinkling, not necessarily so in the case of the Mishnah, because the severity of the confusion in the Mishnah is a lesser degree of severity than that which was featured in the Brisa, where in the Brisa you were dealing with a case where the animal was inherently unfit to be a sacrifice. Omar Mar, a quote from the Raisa before, Ufturin Milasos Pesach Sheni. In the case of the five mix-ups, the five animals that got mixed up, and one of them was found to be a Balmum, so we said that they are all exempt, all five people are exempt from doing a makeup Korban Pesach. The Gemara asks, Va'iko Chadelo Nofik, but there's one of these people that hasn't fulfilled his obligation at all. He brought a blemished animal. The Gemara proceeds with quite an elaborate structure, and on the side we have a diamond featured. The diamonds in this Gemara represent Hezberim Loma Oisa Echod She Karbonoi Hoyabalmum Potter Milasos Pesach Sheni. Let's read that again. We're going to try to explain why the one person whose animal happened to have been a Balmum, Umimelo Lo Yotze Bepischoi, and he definitely has not fulfilled his Korban Pesach, why is he Potter Milasos Pesach Sheni? In other words, why do we say all five people are exempt from doing a makeup Pesach Sheni? Granted, four of the people brought good korbanos, and as Abaye said, and whatever mix-up took place, it took place after the Zrika Saddam, so four of them were certainly good kosher korbanos. The fifth person, though, whoever it was who brought a balmum, he is included, however, in the exemption of the Mishnah, and the question is why. Or, in other words, is there no other solution other than simply saying exemption from Pesach Sheni when we know that one of the people hasn't fulfilled his Pesach obligation whatsoever? So the Gemara responds and says, Mishum dolo efshir, hechi lavid, what should be done? Before we go too much further into the Gemara, since there is a rather elaborate structure ahead of us, it behooves us to give an introduction after mentioning the role of the diamond, these are hesberim, as to why we finally say potir milasos, the Gemara will say, which we introduce with triangles, and our note says, Hatzos shebecholzos yuchal lekayim korban pesach. What do you mean that lo efshir, there is no other possibility? We have to say exemption. Could the following not be done? And the triangles, each triangle introduces some kind of suggestion that might be able to enable the person who didn't fulfill to actually be yotze, to fulfill Korban Pesach. And he'll do this during Pesach Sheni, Yudalit, Iyar. So just let us take a bird's eye view of the Gemara. We have the first diamond, at which point the Gemara says, if you're asking why it's potum lasos pesach sheni, because there's no other way, then a bunch of suggestions comes. And the after the suggestions arise, we're going to say at the top of Pei Tes, Omid Aleph, there's a second diamond, at which point we say, listen, you want to know what the real problem is? And it tells you, because there's the problem of the choze, the shok, in the suggestions that were raised as part of the first diamond, amongst the suggestions that were raised, there was the issue of a korban shlomim came up in the suggestions. A korban shlomim is a type of sacrifice from which the choza and shok, the breast and part of the leg, are given to a kohen. How will that be able to be solved if you adopt the third triangle suggestion under the first diamond? So that's the problem that's presented here in diamond number two. Back to the issue of there is no solution. You've got the choza and shok problem. The Gemara presents then, we have diamonds, or that is, triangles at the top of Pei Tes Amud Aleph, where why with suggestions, why is Chos of Shok really a problem? And then we'll get to diamond number three, and says there still is a problem. And that's where diamond number three appears. Following that, there will be a series of triangles that present the problems with that, which actually present alternatives or suggestions to circumvent the problem presented in diamond number three. And this will continue, as you can see with the markings, again and again, new problems being erased as the Gemara goes on, until we get to the sixth problem, and that will ultimately explain why we say that in the case of the skins getting mixed up, and one of the five people definitely did not fulfill his Korban Pesach, that we have no other solution for him. So now we turn back to our Gemara in response to the issue of why the Mishnah says they are all exempt from Pesach Sheni, even though one of them has not fulfilled his Korban Pesach. The Gemara says there simply is no solution. Mishum dolo efshir. Hechi lavid. What should they do? Lacy call chad v'chad pesach. Should you say that each one of these people should bring a new pesach? Say on Pesach Sheni, they should bring a new pesach. But four of these people don't need to bring it. Komaisi chulin lazora. The arbo minayu avdilu. They would be guilty of bringing chulin. Chulin is common or mundane animals into the Azorah, being that they don't need to bring a Pesach Sheni, so what they're bringing in effect is chulin, and chulin cannot be brought, and they cannot be brought and slaughtered in the temple courtyard. Laisi kulu chad Pesach. Should they all bring one Korban Pesach? So you've got five people bringing one Korban Pesach, four of whom don't need it at all. That's not a solution. Nimso Pesach Nechal Shelo Lemnuyov. You'll then have a situation of a Korban Pesach being eaten by those people who have no business being a part of it. Those non-menuyov, non-appointed people are then eating from the Korban Pesach, and that is against the halacha. Hi, my. So what would you want to suggest now?
Nesi kol chad minayu pischo v'nisni v'neimo. Let each one bring a korban pesach and indicate and state a condition, a stipulation. Let them declare as follows. Ididi balmum, if mine was the blemished animal, in other words, the original korban pesach that I brought was the one with the wart, and hence it was a non-korban pesach. Hai da'isi hasha, that which I'm bringing now, neheve pesach, it shall be my pesach, my makeup korban pesach. Vididi tam, and if that which and if my animal on the 14th of Nisan was in fact an unblemished animal, namely I fulfilled my korban pesach obligation already. Hai da'isi hasha, that which I'm bringing now on the 14th of Iyar, neheve shlamim, let it be a korban shlamim. You're entitled to bring a korban shlomim whenever you want. So there's no problem with his bringing a korban shlomim on the 14th of Iyar. The Gemara says, lo efshar, that solution is untenable. We continue at the top of Pei Tes Omer Aleph. Mishum di'iko choze v'shoik de'koyhanim hu de'achli lei. If it turns out that what you're bringing is a korban shlomim, so in contrast to the Korban Pesach, a Korban Shlomim has the Chos of Ashok that are given to a Kohen. You're not allowed to eat the Chos of Ashok. Rashi at the top says, Mishum Deiko Chos of Ashok, the Shlomim. The Chos of Ashok of a Shlomim, Shetzorach Li Nosein LeKohen, that has to be given to a Kohen. The Efshur Loseis, and it can't be given. You can't give the Chos of Ashok to a Kohen. The Ha'kol V'chad V'chad, Shemohai, have a Pesach. Any given animal might actually be a Korban Pesach. You don't know. V'nimtza ma'achilo l'koin shelo nimne olav. And then you're in effect giving him meat of a Korban Pesach to a Kohen who wasn't appointed to it. The Gemara regarding this problem says, and we have a structural note, the Mivneh, we have the triangle with the covered in tip has we have here hatsos liftor habaya shel chozeh v'shok. These are solutions to the problem of the chozeh v'shok. V'nesi kol chad v'chad kohen b'hadei. Why doesn't each one of the people, each one of the five that are bringing their korbanos, bring a kohen along with him? What's the nature of the Kohen that he'll be bringing with him? Ida Ovid Pesach. If the Kohen himself had already fulfilled his Pesach obligations, Dilmahai Pesachu, maybe the animal that's being brought now is in fact a Korban Pesach. V'nimsa Pesach Nechal Shalul Nuyov. This Kohen who already fulfilled his Pesach obligation is not entitled to eat from a second Korban Pesach that he's not appointed to, and he doesn't need to be appointed to this. He's already fulfilled it on the first Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. V'ida lo Ovid Pesach, and if this Kohen that's being brought along with any given owner is a Kohen who did not fulfill his Pesach obligation, Dilma Shlomim Hu, maybe the Chos of Ashok that he is receiving is in fact from a Shlomim, not a Korban Pesach, though Ovid Pesach, then this Kohen will be left in a position of not having fulfilled Pesach at all. The Gemara asks, why is there a problem? V'nesi Kulu Hamisho Chad Kohen, the Lo Ovid Pesach. Why don't all five people bring one Kohen? Altogether, only one Kohen who did not fulfill his Korban Pesach obligation on the 14th of Nisan. Let these five people on the 14th of Iyar bring their animals. V'nimni iluyo hani chamisha psochim demimonav shoch ikochad lo oved Pesach v'konafki bei. We have to add here the Kohen that they're bringing along with them, he better have an awfully hearty appetite, or these animals ought to be very small. He will then eat from all five Chos of Ashoks. One of the Chos of Ashoks is from a real Korban Pesach,
And this Kohen, who did not fulfill his original Pesach obligation on the 14th of Nisan, will be fulfilling his Pesach obligation through the eating of the Chazav Vishok of the one of these that in fact is a Korban Pesach. So the Chazav Vishok is not a problem. Ela. So what's the problem? Mishum, the problem with, and here what we've want to point out is that the problem with the most recent suggestion namely a suggestion of triangle number 3 that was at the bottom of the previous Omer of Gemara Peches Omer Beis, where the Pesach / Shlomim suggestion was made. Now the Chazav Ashok issue is not the problem. So what is the problem with the Pesach and then stipulation Shlomim? What's the problem with that suggestion? Mishum b'komem mayit b'achilas Shlomim. Because you're reducing the time frame in which to eat the Korban Shlomim. Again, you've got 5 animals, each one with the stipulation that it either it's a Korban Pesach or it might be a Korban Shlomim. The Ilu Pesach Liyom V'Laylo. A Korban Pesach has a limited time frame in which to eat it. He has just till the end of that night. It's a one-day, one-night situation. V'Ilu Shlomim L'Shnei Yomim V'Laylo Echad. Whereas the Korban Shlomim, you have a longer time frame. But being that each one of these animals might be a Korban Pesach, he will be restricted to finishing it by the end of that first night, which is a limitation placed on what otherwise would be available for eating a Korban Shlomim. So each one of these animals, if you're going to make that stipulation by virtue of the fact that each one might be a Korban Pesach, so you've got 4 of the 5 animals being eaten within an overly restricted time frame. And that's not allowed. You're not allowed to do that, to be memayit bezman achila. The Gemara suggests, v'nesi mosar ha-pesach v'neimo. Why not bring something that's called Mosar Pesach? Now, just a word of introduction. Mosar means left over. The case of Mosar Pesach in general is a situation where a person, let us say, set aside earmarked money for a Korban Pesach, and the price dropped, and he was able to buy a Korban with less amount of money. The leftover money is called Mosar Pesach. Another situation might be where a person had set aside an animal for a Korban Pesach and it got lost and he used a replacement animal and then found the original one. So the original one is then called a leftover Korban Pesach. And Rashi points out that a Mosar Pesach in fact is offered as a Korban Shlomim, but it has the limited time frame associated with it, namely with a Korban Shlomim, with a Korban Pesach, namely till the end of that first night in which to eat it. Rashi adds, and we read the Rashi together, the upper part of the narrow lines, V'nesi Mosar HaPesach mitchiloso, from at the very outset, Yasne Olov, he should make the following stipulation, Im Sheli Tam Hoyo, if my first animal was unblemished, and I thereby fulfilled my Korban Pesach obligation, Ze ye Mosar Pesach, Shehu Korev Shlomim. Then let this animal that I'm bringing now on the 14th of Iyar, let it now, it'll, I'm going to label it Mosar Pesach, which is brought as a Korban Shlomim, Vehu kePesach Shenechal Yom V'Laylo. And it also has it happens to have the same time frame as a Korban Pesach with regard to the eating. So with suggestion number 4 here, I'm circumventing the problem or preempting the problem of being memayit the zman achila of a Korban Shlomim. That's the suggestion. Let's read it now in the Gemara. V'nesi Mosar HaPesach v'neimo. Let him bring his animal on the 14th of Iyar and declare it or label it as Mosar Pesach and say, E-D-D Baal Mum, if I had been the owner of the blemished animal, then Haida, I see Hasha, that which I'm bringing now, Nevi Pesach, then it will be my formal Korban Pesach, namely my makeup Korban Pesach, through which I'll fulfill my obligation. E-D-D Tamhu, however, if that which I brought on the 14th of Nisan was unblemished, and I already fulfilled my obligation, Nevi Haida, I see Hashta, Shlomim de Mosar Pesach. Nechal Yom V'laylo Echod. So then let that which I'm bringing now ashlamim, and the advantage of the advantage of declaring it a shlomim and declaring it a Mosar Pesach enables it to be eaten within the same time frame as a Korban Pesach, and as we said, without being guilty of reducing the time. The Gemara rejects this. Is there such an idea of an initial sanctification as a Mosar Pesach? That doesn't exist. We said before what the case of Mosar Pesach, that's where it's something, as its own name suggests, it's something that's left over. It's not an initial declaration. You can't initially declare something to be a Mosar Pesach. The Mosar Pesach is only the residual effect of something else, where something else had been established, i.e., he set aside money for a Korban Pesach. The price fell, so the leftover money, that is Mosar Pesach. But as an initial dedication or an initial sanctification, declaring something to be a Mosar Pesach, that doesn't exist. The Gemara asks, but still, why do you say that in our original case they are all exempt from Pesach Sheni, v'nitrachu v'naisi Mosar Pesach? So let them trouble themselves and find some leftover monies that were originally earmarked for a Korban Pesach, and then go through the whole suggestion that we just saw in number 4. So you see that there is a solution. They can do this Mosar Pesach solution with the stipulation, as we saw back at the end of Peches Omid Beis. If I fulfilled my obligation, then this I'm bringing as a Mosar Pesach Shlomim. If I did not fulfill my obligation, then that which I'm bringing now is my Korban Pesach. So what's the problem? Why does the Mishnah rule that they are all exempt from any sacrifices on the 14th of Iyar, namely Pesach Sheni? Ela mishum smicha. You know what the problem is? The problem is the issue of the placing hands on the animal. As the Gemara explains, the ilu Pesach lo boi smicha. When it comes to a Korban Pesach, there is no placing of hands on the animal's head. The process of smicha, the ritual of smicha, is not performed with a Korban Pesach. The ilu mosar boi smicha, that which is a mosar Pesach, which in effect is brought as a Korban Shlomim, that does require smicha. So there is a, and now Rashi points out, boi smicha v'yefshel smoch al zeh. I can't just play it safe, so to speak, and put my hands on this and on any one of the given animals. Why not? Shema Pesachu, because any one of the given animals might be actually a needed Korban Pesach. The Korban Avodah B'Kodeshim, and by your placing your hands and placing your hands, which involves actually leaning on the animal with your hands placed on its head, you are guilty of doing Avodah B'Kodeshim, meaning benefiting or using the Kodeshim. You're using it to support your weight as you're placing your hands on it. And that's, it's forbidden to do a voda b'kodshim. The Gemara continues and says, Ha tenach korban anoshim. What you just said is a reasonable objection or a reasonable explanation for the Mishnah. If you were dealing with the korban of men, korban noshim aikla memer, what about a case of women who are the owners of these korbanas? And Rashi points out, the korban of women do not require smicha. So that the smicha issue can't be is a non-factor. It's a non-starter when it comes to a korban noshim, namely, even if the even if the animal being brought by any one of the five women, any one of the given women here, is a korban moiser shlomim, a moiser pesach, i.e. shlomim, it wouldn't require smicha either, just like the korban pesach wouldn't require smicha. So what's the problem? Elo mishum matonus. The problem is, let's say you had, these are five women, each one who needs to bring her korban pesach because one of them had a blemished animal. The reason we can't solve the problem with the tenai pesach slash mosar pesach shlomim situation, because I won't know how to fulfill the zrikas hadam, the sprinkling or the blood applications to the altar. The ilu pesach matona achas, when it comes to the pesach blood application, it's a singular blood application. Lilu shlomim shtayim shein arba. The shlomim blood application is a double blood application at two corners of the mizbeach. When you apply the blood to a corner of the mizbeach, it actually, each corner represents two sides. That's shein arba. The two blood applications reach the four sides of the mizbeach. The Gemara asks, "My nafgamina, but why is this? What difference does that make? V'hotnan, do we not have the following teaching, following Tanaic source that says, Kol hanitnin al mizbeach hachitzon, all blood applications of sacrifices that are done on the external mizbeach, the mizbeach in the temple courtyard, shenosnan b'matona achas kiper, if you do a single application, you fulfilled, kiper means you fulfilled your korban obligation. So the issue of the amount, the numbers of blood applications isn't a, can't be the binding or the restrictive factor. So what's the problem? Elo mishum, the problem, the issue of why we say the non-solution issue is based on deilu pesach equals b'shvicha, deilu shlomim equals v'zrika. The korban pesach blood is done, is applied to the mizbeach in a pouring fashion, meaning you're standing up close to the mizbeach, pouring it over the base of the mizbeach. The ilu shlomim bezriko, however, the shlomim blood application is done in a tossing or a spurting fashion from the distance. The Gemara asks, "My nafgamina, why does that present any problem? What difference does that make?" V'hatanya, do we not have the following teaching that says, "Kol hanitnin bezriko, shenoslan b'shvicha yotza"? Anything like a korban shlomim that you're supposed to do zrika to, but you happened to do it in a pouring fashion, you have fulfilled your obligation. So that, what do we have over here? We've got this suffix whether we've got a shlomim or a korban pesach on hand, and you said that a korban pesach needs to be applied through shvicha, so let the korban shlomim also be done through shvicha. That doesn't ruin the korban. So why not do them all b'shvicha? The Gemara responds, "Amar de koamrino di avad." This was said as a in a post facto sense, that if you happen to do the korban shlomim b'shvicha, so you fulfill your obligation. However, lechatchila nami, but as a first choice, that too, are you going to say you're yotzei that way too? No, we're not going to go that far. We're not going to say to these people who are bringing animals and saying, as a first choice, do shvicha. Because what you're in effect saying is, as a first choice, four of these five animals are korban shlomim. You're telling me, as a first choice, to do shvicha, as a first choice to what in effect is a korban shlomim. That's not acceptable. Therefore, we're back to what the Mishnah had ruled, that in the event that you have this five people that brought a korban pesach and one of them was discovered to be a blemished animal, so they are all exempt from the need for doing a Pesach Sheni. And as far as your question of, well, one of them hasn't fulfilled his Korban Pesach obligation whatsoever, we say, well, we've got no other solution. There is no Pesach Sheni solution. And if you ask, why is there no solution? The bottom line is, the preventive factor arises when it comes to the issue of the blood application, as we saw in diamond number 6. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com.
With that, we conclude our shiur for today.